It was mischief night, gate night, the night before Halloween, a night when there's mayhem and dumb pranks like wrapping your teacher's car in toilet paper. It was on such a night that some high school boys got a bunch of those little red firecrackers and tied them in bundles and ran down the road in their small town, stuffing them in people's mailboxes and setting them off. You can imagine their delight at these small explosions. The door to one mailbox maybe going sailing through the air. The little red flag on another one warped beyond usage. Typical goofy teenage guy stuff. Unless you're a black teenage guy living in rural Mississippi, in which case, the cops say that you were interfering with the mail, and that's a federal offense. The boys were charged and went to jail. As we continue the story of Jesus as told by John's Gospel, today we are confronted with Guantanamo Bay. Torture, humiliation, the death sentence. Pilate is governor of the region, and he alone has the power to issue the death penalty. The country is under occupation by the Roman Empire, and as in all places under occupation, there is fear, there is betrayal, and there is collaboration with the enemy. And power is maintained by violence or the threat of violence. Those so-called chief priests who brought Jesus to Pilate for sentencing are themselves puppet collaborators named by the emperor. John's Gospel portrays Pilate as kind of a reasonable man who's caught up in circumstances beyond his control. But John is writing long after the fact, at a time when Christians are being persecuted. And so John's Gospel repeatedly curries favor with the powerful Roman Empire. History tells us that Pilate, far from being a reasonable man caught up in difficult circumstances, was actually a brutal dictator, even by Roman standards. And not long after these events, he will be removed from office, and so will the puppet priest collaborators. So that's kind of background, and none of that actually changes the violence in today's story. Flogging, crown of thorns, the joke of the purple robe, being beaten about the face and head, beaten so badly that upon his resurrection, his loved ones didn't recognize him. Let that sink in. Jesus was beaten so badly in custody that upon his resurrection, his loved ones didn't recognize him. The Canadian justice system has been much on our minds and hearts over two recent trials, Gerald Stanley for the death of Colton Bushy, and the stunning unsolved case of the death of Tina Fontaine. Many are saying that the very term Canadian justice system would be more accurately called the Canadian legal system, as justice seems not to have been served. As it was in Jesus' time, the poor and minority peoples are much more likely to be scooped up by prisons. In the United States, there are more prisons than degree-granting institutions. In Canada, some are calling our jails the new residential schools. Consider that the rate of incarceration for Indigenous people is 10 times that of white folks. Consider that in the last decade, the rate of Indigenous women being incarcerated in this country has risen by 112%. And consider that the occupation prison guard is one of the fastest growing public sector jobs on the prairies. Well, sin deserves punishment, as most of us have been taught. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Sin must be punished. And even if we don't put it this way in progressive Christian churches, it's hard to escape that pervasive theology that Jesus died for our sins, and that salvation has to do with the cross and suffering and punishment. And from there, it's a very short leap to believe that Jesus' saving act is reducible to his suffering and his punishment. Our old creeds, the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, which are printed in our Voices United, are still spoken in many Christian denominations, these creeds assert this. The Apostles' Creed says Jesus was conceived, born, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. That creed has not a word, not a syllable about his life and teachings. And the Nicene Creed is not much better. He came down from heaven, became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. What is the line between our theology of crime, our theology of punishment, and the locking up of our sisters and brothers? Do we really believe that punishment somehow purifies the punished? Are we still imprisoned by the myth of redemptive violence, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and all the world becomes blind and toothless? How is it that our laws are so unevenly applied? So if you are brown-skinned or poor or have a mental illness or a behavioral issue or learning disabilities, you're way more likely to go to jail than me. Jesus was arrested not because he was a nice guy, but because he was part of an underground movement to usher in the kingdom of God, a radically new way of being in the world. Pilate and the so-called high priests mistook this, saw it as a threat to their own power, instead of a radically different way of being community. If you look at that trial scene we've been looking at the last couple of weeks, look at the exchanges Jesus has with Pilate. And in those exchanges, Jesus offers us a way out of this cycle of violence, a way forward. He offers us a way that in the last century was taken up by Gandhi and Martin Luther King, the way of nonviolence, the way of passive resistance. And that's not an easy way. It's a way that demands of us deep courage, the courage not to return violence for violence. The kingdom Jesus offers us is life-giving, compassionate, and seeks to restore damaged people to the community. It's a kingdom that looks deeper than the presenting issue of the crime. It's a kingdom that rather sees the crime as a cry of pain, that knows when a crime is committed, our entire community is violated, not just the individual victims. And it's the entire community that must be healed. The cross was not God's invention. The cross was not God's invention, but ours. An instrument of torture and intimidation created by an empire that, as we saw so graphically in the scripture reading, created by an empire that needed to keep the dispossessed under control. The cross holds up a mirror to our own human brutality. And here ends this morning's lesson, leaving us looking in that mirror. Amen.